Good health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Nick Bayerano.
Hello and welcome to Good Health, the radio show sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I am your host, Nick Bayerano. If you have a question, send us an email at kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. I have an exciting show for you today. Joining me in the studio is pediatrician Dr. Daniel Canal. Welcome, Dr. Canal, and thank you for being on the show with us today.
Good morning, Nick.
The first question I have for you is, what brought you to Hermiston?
Well, great question, Nick. What brings a pediatrician to a small town? You know, in my case, I needed to find a practice area that matched my desire to work in a place where I could have a good quality of life while still practicing medicine in an innovative and caring environment. I really think I found that at Good Shepherd Medical Center.
That is really cool. So one of the things that I know about you and that I think other people might want to know is I understand that you are bilingual and speak English and Spanish. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, Spanish is actually my native language, as I am Colombian. But I spent a lot of time in the U.S. I did some training in New York City, St. Louis, and Miami. And I also was an exchange student in South Dakota, and that's how I actually speak English.
Awesome. So in South Dakota, was that a small community as well?
Yes, it was 14,000, 15,000.
So similar to Hermiston.
Very similar.
Okay. And I know that this is a huge asset for our community as we have a large Hispanic population here and it continues to grow. So I'm sure that is going to be something that is going to be very beneficial and that the community is really going to enjoy having you here. Before we get too far into your specialty, I wanted to ask you about your interests. What do you like to do with your free time when you're not taking care of children?
You know, Nick, I am a very active person. I love outdoors. I love to explore and to travel. I really love to do things with my hands, and I always have a project going on.
That is really cool. So what kinds of things are you interested in exploring here in our local area?
You know, I hear that we have great fishing and great outdoors and great hiking. So if any patients have suggestions, I really, really accept them.
So as you can see, Dr. Canal really enjoys fishing and hiking, which are two things that we have strong in this community, the Columbia River and Umatilla River being right next to us here. And also we have great hiking trails and hiking community not too far away either, and within driving distance here in the Blue Mountains, or you can go to waterfalls. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I have to try it.
I know your specialty is pediatrics. What exactly is a pediatrician?
You know, I think the best definition for a pediatrician is a specialist that knows how to take care of children from newborns to where they're college students. You know, children are not small adults. They are more similar to like Martians. They respond different to treatments, and they also present very different when they're sick.
So I know you just mentioned it here briefly. So you care for newborns all the way up to college age, correct?
Yes.
All right. So that is a very broad spectrum. And I'm sure, like you said, kids are more like Martians than they are adults. And I'm sure they have their own little idiosyncrasies with those different age groups. How do you categorize their ages? Is there adolescents, preteens, teens?
So I see that from the medical point, we always see newborns, which is the first 2 months of life. They're a complete different animal than after that. Newborns do not show you when they're sick, so you have to be very, very careful. And that's a message for parents out there. If you have doubts, bring your child in. Then we have toddlers and people, you know, babies between 1 to 2 years, and they show you a little bit more when they're sick, but they still crash really quick on you. So it's good to answer early to when your child is sick than to wait. And then we have, of course, our years between 5 and 10. Normally kids at this age are healthy, and we have to check on them and make sure they're getting to their potential and getting all the stimulation that they need. And then, of course, we have teenagers, and, you know, parents know about this more than I do.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I'm not there yet. My kids are still in between that 5 to 10-year-old range. I'm soon to have an 11-year-old here, so
it's
I might.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. So I wanted to ask you, too, when you went to medical school, why did you decide to focus on pediatrics?
You know, I like children, plain and simple. They are such an enjoyable group age to work with. It just brings you joy every time you go to work.
And, you know, from a parent's perspective, you know, not having kids yourself yet, you know, you're able to enjoy the kids and then send them off with their parents, and the parents still have to deal with them. So has taking care of children changed you as a person?
Yes, Lee, absolutely. During my medical training, I have seen all type of issues with children. I have 3 brave children going through grave sickness, including cancer, cardiac conditions, children who need protection from abuse, even from their families, which is very sad, and children who need more than just medical care. You know, when you are in care of children, you cannot but be affected and resolve it to do whatever is in your hand and your power to help these children.
Wow. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your scope of practice. I know, again, you said that you take care of newborns through college-age kids, but what are some of the more specific things that you do for kids in those different age ranges?
Yeah, so as we say, a pediatrician will take care of them, and I will take care of all my patients from when they're born to when they go to college, and if they need me after that, I'm there for them. But it's also important to categorize kids in 2 different categories, when they're sick and when they're well. I think when they're sick, we have to act quick to return them to how they're to that well stage. And when they're well, I think it's when we have to act the most to give them all the tools they need to be the best person they can be. As simple as giving their shots, giving good advice to parents, eating healthy, exercising, trying new things.
So you did mention shots here, and I know for some parents, vaccinations seem to be, you know, a challenge or an issue just because of whatever they hear in the media or celebrities. And, you know, what is your feeling and perspective about vaccinations?
You know, I come from Colombia, where vaccination is still a problem and these diseases still happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm a strong believer in vaccines. On my personal experience, my mother almost died of cervical cancer, and now we have a vaccine for it. So you are going to see that I will push for it really hard.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. And on the lighter side of vaccines, I know that you just arrived in time for cold and flu season. Are you ready?
Oh, Nick, I am ready. I already got my flu shot. Did you get your flu shot?
I got my flu shot.
Well, and since this is allergy season, you know, it's not a problem. You get it? It's not.
It's not. I got it. So are you recommending that kids, are they able to come in and see you and get the flu shot?
Yes. We actually right now, since yesterday, have flu shots for all ages. And you can come and just do a visit to get the flu shot. You don't have to wait until you can see me.
Great. So what is the youngest age that a child can receive a flu shot?
At 6 months of age.
6 months of age. Wow. So that really prevents them and their family members from catching it, which is good. And I'm sure they're probably, when they're that young, like you said, it's pretty hard to diagnose what they have and they can't tell you. So it's a good thing to do.
I really like when my patients get the flu shot early, because this year they're very vulnerable. Still, they're young. Their immune system is not same as an adult. And when the flu affects a small child, it can be very severe.
Kind of switching gears here a little bit, I wanted to talk to you about another epidemic that our nation is kind of facing. It seems that we have an epidemic of childhood obesity.
Yes, we do.
When you're working with children and their support persons, parents, grandparents, foster parents, how do you encourage both?
Well, Nick, this is a big issue for me. You know, I will be working to influence children, caregivers, and those supporting our children to modify their diets and get them exercising more. You know, I will be providing patients with tips on good balanced diets and activities. And I am also hoping we can open a day a month, a clinic to see and follow these patients so we can provide them the best care we can.
So essentially what you're recommending is you help them with some lifestyle changes. So diet, exercise, and you're also recommending that they can come in and be seen once a month just to kind of follow and track their progress?
We're doing actually one every 2 months when there is a problem with your weight.
Okay.
We're trying to track it every 2 months.
Sounds good. Well, you're listening to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System on KOHU. With me today is pediatrician Dr. Daniel Canal. If you have any questions, please send us an email to kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. Just to recap, we've just been discussing childhood obesity and the tactics Dr. Canal uses to help improve the lifestyle of children and families that may be suffering from conditions related to obesity. Obviously, childhood obesity is a huge issue in our society today, but it's not just as simple and easy as saying to your kids, go outside and play. What are some lifestyle issues that might attribute to childhood obesity?
You know, Nick, I'm a big nerd myself. You know, when I was a kid, I loved watching TV and I played video games, and I still do. But you have to put balance in our life. You have to put time to homework, study, and you have to put time to go outside, play. I really encourage exploring. You know, try new things. See what your kids like to do. You know, my easiest example is birds didn't just fly. They have to learn how to fly. They fall and get up again until they know how to fly. So go try things.
You know, that's really good advice. It seems like in today's society, everybody kind of tries to keep their kids in a bubble, you know, and we don't let, even when I was a kid, you know, my parents let me go outside and, like you said, explore and get hurt and realize that maybe that's not the thing I want to do and try to do something different. But today it seems like society is shying away from that to some degree. You know, we don't want our children to get hurt or experience those same things. So there's so many buffers in place, and TV and video games are one of those things.
Yes, but TV and video games come also with their own issues. You know, the AAP just released a new statement recommending that screen time, which is any screen, cell phones, TVs, video games, computers, be limited to under 2 hours a day, since this can increase first obesity and also behavioral issues.
So, you know, in today's society, like as well, screen time seems to probably be a huge, huge issue. I remember reading an article recently that kids spend up to anywhere from 4 to 12 hours a day in front of a screen, whether it's their cell phone or their computer or video games and TV. You know, so trying to limit them to under 2 hours, I can see that for some parents, that's going to be really difficult to do.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And the best way, and this is not my recommendation, this is the AAP, is you take a step approach. You start slowly cutting time, but you have to not just cut time, you have to replace it with other activities so your children doesn't start missing the TV, because if he's busy doing something else, he's not going to remember that the TV is there.
And that is so true. I can share from my own family's experience. When we moved here to Hermiston, we actually got rid of our TV, and you know, we've been doing a lot more things as a family, spending more time together, playing games, being outdoors, which has really brought us closer together as a family. So I can appreciate what you are saying there. So we did get a question from a caller here. And the first caller, they are asking, with the flu vaccine, can the nasal vaccine be used, and is it effective with kids?
Yes, the nasal vaccine can be used. Not in every kid. There is some contraindications to it, and there is an age limit to it. But yes, it's very effective.
Is it as effective as the shot?
As effective.
Okay. And I think that's one of the questions that the caller or the person that sent us a question actually had. And we just received another question. In regards to childhood obesity, is there anything parents should do when their child is just being introduced to foods? And what should we start introducing foods to them?
So when we start introducing foods, it's a little bit different of a topic that childhood obesity here. Introducing foods should be one food at a time. So if there's any allergies, we know what the allergy came from. But also, do low sodium, so kids do not need to have salt in their meals, and introduce them to fruits and vegetables so they learn that that is the fruit they and the food they like, and don't just start giving them cookies and chicken nuggets because that's what they are going to learn, that that's the food they should be eating.
You know, I can attest, it's often difficult for parents, you know, with our busy lifestyles that we have here in America, to be able to provide some of those healthy foods sometimes. And it seems just so much more convenient to be able to go through the fast food drive through and get whatever meal that's convenient and easy and closest to home. And I'm sure several people in our community do that on a regular basis. So what kind of encouragement and recommendations can you give them as far as making some changes and helping their kids eat a little healthier?
Well, nothing comes without effort. Definitely, we have to put time aside to shop for groceries. Make healthier choices when you go into those fast food places. You know, even McDonald's has salads. And spending more time at home. And, you know, my grandma had very good advice that it was very similar to what I got in medical school. You have to eat more fruits and vegetables, sleep every night, get a good bed, and spend time with the people you love. So I really encourage their families to try to spend as much time as they can with their child and with their kids.
You know, like you were saying, grandmothers have a lot of wisdom, and I think that is definitely something that we all can apply to our daily lives here. Something else, another switching subjects a little bit here. Something else that has become pretty common with kids these days is the over or misdiagnosis of ADD and ADHD. How do you, as a pediatrician, work with families to help diagnose children?
Okay, so this is an area of special interest and concern to me. I have a significant amount of training in this area. I know how different treatments work, and I also know that just giving a pill is not the solution. We need to address ADD or ADHD in a holistic way with a plan that can help our kids use their strengths, and we also have to help them with their struggles. To answer your question specifically about diagnosis, I am more concerned about non-diagnosing it than actually over-diagnosing it.
Okay.
Nowadays, there's tools, and I encourage parents, if you have a doubt, get an appointment, come see us. If it's not ADD, at least we have it off the list. And if it is, we can address it and get your kid to reach his potential.
So in talking about ADD and ADHD a little bit here, what are some common symptoms that arise that from the condition and manifest itself differently child to child? Or is it all pretty much the same as far as symptoms go?
So ADHD is something that is relatively new to the medical world. It's been around for over probably 30 years that people have good knowledge of it. We have diagnostic criteria that are very specific, but these do not completely address the issue. The main problem with ADD is something called executive functioning, and it's a not complete or lack of development of these functions. One of them, for example, is something called working memory, which is that while you're doing something, you continue to remember that what you were doing prior, and that you have to go back to this task. This can show differently from kid to kid. Example one, a kid that is doing a math homework. Mm-hmm. He has to continue to pay attention to what he was doing. He got distracted because someone called him, and then he forgot what he was doing, and the next time he comes back to his exercise, he makes a mistake. So you will see it. The teacher doesn't see this. The teacher just see this kid is bad in math. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's actually not hyperactive. He's not loud in class. Or option B, you have the kid that is actually blessed and is good in math, where he gets distracted easy. So he gets bored with the teacher, and then he starts acting out in class.
Okay. So it can manifest itself in different ways.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, we talked a little bit ago about screen time and something that was in Time Magazine, and the AP recently released a report about it. And how does screen time affect, or does it have an effect in ADHD and ADD, or is there a connection there at all?
So new studies have a belief that the increase on ADHD diagnosis could maybe just to the fact that we're more aware of it, but could also be the fact that our kids are getting much more stimulation than before. And part of this stimulation comes from screens, since it's a bright light that you get multiple hours a day. And it's also very stimulating because it's audiovisual.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned something to me before as we were getting ready for the show here, just about the stimulation from that light. It doesn't, when you try to go to sleep at night, your brain doesn't shut down like it should.
Yes, it doesn't. It's actually recommended that half hour before you go to bed, you should not be on your cell phone, because you are not going to allow your brain to wire down and get into this, I'm going to bed, relaxing mood. The brain is going to keep thinking, oh, there's more things to do, more things going on, and you will just have a hard time falling asleep or not a restful night of sleep.
So parents out there and caregivers, that is something that you should keep in mind with your kids, is, you know, trying to maybe reduce the amount of time that they spend on their cell phones in the evening, which may actually improve their sleeping patterns and their sleeping habits, correct?
Yes.
For sure. Okay. You're listening to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System on KOHU. Today we're talking about kids' health with Dr. Daniel Canal, a pediatrician at Good Shepherd Medical Group. If you have any questions, please send us an email to kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. Again, that is kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. I know that as a pediatrician, you also provide procedures in the office. What are those procedures?
So we're planning to provide two types of procedures in the office. One is stitching of small cuts. Hopefully we can get some training to our parents when they come and see us, what cuts can we take care of.
Okay.
If we are not able to do so, we will send patients to the ER. And also we are going to provide services for circumcisions in the office. We're planning to start providing this in around 2 weeks from now.
Oh, great. Okay. And if I was a parent and listening, something I'd want to know is about your patient care. What can a patient and parent expect from the patient care you provide?
That's a very, very good question, Nick. You know, I care, and I will take time to listen to your concerns and to address them. I want to be part of your family team, to see your children grow into the adults we all want them to be. And should something serious arise, you can bet and you can know that I will be an aggressive advocate for your children to get the best possible care, even if it's me or somewhere else.
Well, you heard it here. Dr. Canal is ready to be an advocate for your children, from newborns to teens to just heading into college. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be providing a holistic approach to the care that he provides here. So we'd like to thank Dr. Canal for joining us on the Good Health Radio Show today. For those of you that are listening and are looking for a pediatrician, Dr. Canal is welcoming new patients at the pediatrics office located at Good Shepherd Medical Group. If you would like to have an opportunity to meet Dr. Canal in person, Good Shepherd Healthcare System is having a Fall Harvest Open House meet and greet event on Thursday, November 17, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Good Shepherd Medical Plaza, located at 620 Hospital Drive, to introduce our community to the new doctors. The event is free and open to the public and will be catered with appetizers and refreshments. So, Dr. Canal, thank you again for joining us on the show today. Be sure to tune in for our next show on December 1st as we talk obstetrics and gynecology with Dr. Allison Havkin.